ironically, like, we just started this process. So now we're at the point where, okay, we've identified, you know, vacancies and need, and now we're at the point where we're going to go to fiscal to see, you know, funding availability and those sorts of things. So I apologize, I don't have a better update, but I just got started on this process.
Thank you. That's us is the most important thing, that progress is being made and that we've gotten going on that. So I appreciate that, Carol. Our next item is Bureau Program Updates, Voc Rehab and Business Enterprise. Let's go alphabetical. Tyrell, you have the floor.
All right. Thank you. All right. So today, BEP has 22 active food service operations. Right now, we have two vacancies, New Britain Courthouse, Food Concession, as well as Bridgeport Mental Health. New Britain situation, we had a wonderful operator there who has taken a career advancement opportunity within our program. So that's why that location is vacant. And Bridgeport Mental Health, that was operated by the manager and spouse, who played a major role in responsibility. And the spouse has decided to go a new direction in career. Therefore, the operator decided to step away from that opportunity. So both locations are vacant. I have some fillers out. There may be some prospects, I'm hoping, that will be able to fill those roles. So that's a good thing. Since establishing the two federal vending routes, in which I updated on our last meeting, those two operators, one being a new operator into the program and one being an existing, who lost their facility to no fault other than lack of population at the New Haven Courthouse, forcing us to waive that location, has decided to pursue that opportunity, and both of those gentlemen are doing very well in the roles and responsibilities set forth by our program, and are satisfied with the salaries that, or the income, I should say, derived from those opportunities. So we are pleased with that. Again, to double back on my last update, I informed everyone on the board that we were in collaborative efforts with the Statewide Committee of Blind Vendors, looking to pursue the opportunity at the Greenwich Beach location. We completed this season. The operator assigned to that location, again, an existing operator who lost their opportunity because of lack of population and business adjustments at the DMVs, pursued that opportunity and did a phenomenal job this season, so much so that the town was extremely pleased that we are looking to pursue the operation in the future. So we anticipate to resume operation there next year, and the operator in the town is very, very pleased, so we're good with that. As another update from my last update, we also pursued, in collaborative efforts between the Statewide Committee of Blind Vendors and the administration, to pursue our first right at Southern Connecticut State University in partnership with the food service elected by the college. Very nice collaborative effort that came to fruition, and actually we were able to execute. That operator that left New Britain Courthouse is the gentleman who operates at Southern Connecticut State in partnership with Sodexo Foods, and that has gone off very well, and everyone involved is pleased where things stand, and this could certainly open up for future opportunities, hopefully, in the near future when we hear about other state colleges who are seeking a food service contract renewal. So, you know, we kind of use this as our model. I've talked on many different platforms in regards to the way we were able to execute this nationally. People have come to our program, or to me specific, in regards to our ability to execute this, and they are you know, hoping to maybe utilize this model in other states. So that is a very good thing for the program. The fact of the matter is telework remains in state government. We realize that. In meeting with the committee and even just staff here in the program, you know, I've kind of made it my promise going into 2023 that I'm not going to use the effects of COVID. I think the reality is COVID's here, and it's here to stay, and obviously it's done a job in all of our lives in various capacities, but very specific in state government. So with that, operators are of the understanding that the opportunities that they currently have pretty much the base level. And so for us and our responsibilities as an administration, and also the operators who oversee these sites, are to build what we have. And so, I've put some challenges in place within the program on both sides of roles and responsibilities to ensure that we are looking to execute every area within these operations, the ability to expand offerings, the ability to think outside the box, to create financial growth. And that seems to be understood. And I think we're definitely going into 2023 with that understanding of the importance of trying to ensure that we're maximizing the opportunities that we currently have while, we work hard to expand the program outside of that and rebuild the program. So we are good there internally. To date, I'm having conversations, or there are conversations had with Three Rivers Community College in specific. And this is a college who operated their own food service probably my entire time of being a state employee. And I think they just aren't in the position. Well, I know they're not in a position to continue internally resuming food service. Every few years they come to our program and ask if we have any interest. And unfortunately, the revenue in which they provided to us as estimates just did not provide viable opportunity. But this time around, they've reached out asking us about the micro market concept. Apparently, there's going to be a pretty big meeting to occur over the next few weeks, or within the next few weeks, with all of the state colleges as they all merged as to one unit. And one of the topics, from what I understand, is the future of food service. Apparently, there are a lot of community colleges, ones that we're in or not in, that are finding it very difficult to maintain traditional cafeteria food service. You know, pre-pandemic, we were aggressively approached by many agencies as to, how come we can't provide a food service. I think now that we're 2-3 years into this new reality, I think it's now settled in that the time for change is now. So these conversations that are being had on our level are definitely being met with mutual agreement and understanding, and making for a great potential to work with these entities in the near future. So, should we be able to figure out a way to provide a micro market concept in a community college? First of all, this may be the first micro market in the state college, and so that could again be a pilot for future opportunities. You know, what we do now, it has to be strategic, but it's also what we're doing is creating greater opportunities in the future. So, it's a fine balance where we are, because we're working on with our existing operators and opportunities and trying to build that, but also, planting seeds out in various areas to hopefully be able to provide even more in the future. Moving on from that situation, we are now in talks with Camp Net. That's a National Guard facility in Nyanic. At first, in which we thought, the initial approach of conversation was an expansion of vending machines until, conversations kind of derailed to the possibility of providing just a little bit more than that. And now conversations have increased to the possibility of offering, again, a micro-market concept, but this in a kind of unique manner, offering your traditional basic offerings, but also offering expansion to be able to, sell maybe like the military shirts and things like that, where trainees that are going in during the week or going in for training forget certain various items that are important and requirements to be part of the training. We can almost expand that micro-market to offer just about everything in which they feel would be of great benefit. The group that we spoke with seemed very, very hopeful, and they are really looking forward to us to being able to offer this opportunity down the line, as much as we are looking forward to being part of that process. So continued conversations are going on with that area as well. So, all in all, we have a lot of opportunities present and in the future opening up. And so it's important that over the next few months, you know, I'm going to look to work with all of our internal groups, supervisors, and just in general programs to speak on behalf of our program, because I think it's important that people are provided, you know, correct knowledge of our program, expectations of the ability to be part of our program, and truly understand what our program has to offer. You know, we're doing a lot of things to, again, position ourselves to in a positive direction in the future, but to ensure we are able to execute these, we have to make sure we have clients or potential candidates that have the skill set, if not, or have an interest, and we work on their development of having the skill set for when that opportunity presents itself. So, you know, there's a lot of promising light, and I want to make sure I don't have to waive any of these opportunities off the fact of not being in position to execute. So 2023 is a strong mission, but I think we're going to be able to execute a lot of things. And outside of that, I think that's just about it.
Any questions for Tyrell?
Yes, this is Eileen with some questions. Terrell, you were talking about the setup at Southern as perhaps Southern Connecticut as perhaps being a model. So Sodexo, I don't know.
No worries.
Sodexo. Thank you. Thank you. I'm not going to try to say it again. So, do they actually, is their staff part of the operation in terms of working with customers, or are they just a food supplier? How does that company actually interact with the person running as part of BEP running the program?
Yeah, so absolutely. Let me explain. So, you know, when you talk about a state college, obviously we're talking about service that's required to provide thousands of students and faculty food service. With that, we would be required to partner with someone who has the skill set, knowledge, the ability, the upfront financing, the structure, ultimately, to be able to execute this option. So, you know, initially when we went into discussions about utilizing our first right opportunity, it was the plan to go in with a company. Ironically, Sodexo was our a company of thought to be able to pursue this opportunity. Southern Connecticut State, as well as, again, many of the state colleges in Connecticut, believe it or not, even on that level, were very concerned with the ability to execute a food service operation based off of the minimum enrollment of students on at these colleges. So obviously, you know, with that, the budget is also impacted. So they wanted us to essentially make this a competitive bid situation and not just go in utilizing our first right and kind of, you know, putting a dollar amount on the, you know, on this contract stating like this is what we want for, you know, this dollar amount to provide this food service. So respectfully, you know, we landed in the middle essentially by stating, you know, understanding that finances are a concern, will allow you to go out with your bid process. However, in that bid, you must acknowledge our first right opportunity and that any food service in whom you select the college, you must include the opportunity of one of our members to be part of this, you know, agreement. And so that situation there was accepted. And so with that, the operator and Sodexo Foods had their own kind of side negotiation on salary and so forth, and that was met in the eyes of the operator of interest. So that's where the financial piece was established. And so when we talk about today, the roles and responsibilities of the operator, this person actually has a very strong role in the oversight. He's there every day. He has his own office. He was actually provided direct training from Sodexo, where it was out of state, and it was about 3 weeks of full support training by Sodexo, which was, you know, incredible on their part. He didn't have to pay a dollar. They've accommodated him with all of his adaptive technology needs, and again, he's part of the, essentially, I want to say above the management, because in the agreement it acknowledges his position, but he has a very active role. So this is not just a sign and grab, but this is a legit role that the operator and Sodexo are very pleased with to date.
Great, that's what I was getting at. So of the 22 active facilities, could you kind of break down the nature of, you know, generally speaking, the nature of the facilities, like how many are summer, how many, you know, just give an overview of how, what those facilities are.
Okay. Yeah, so right now we have four seasonal locations, just quote me, about four over-the-counter facilities, and the remaining four over-the-counter facilities, three vending routes, and the remainder are micro-markets. Those micro-markets are in partnership with one of our third-party vendors that we utilize off the statewide vending contract. The vending routes, those are, again, our partnerships off of our third-party vending route. And the remaining locations are self-operated locations. Let me touch on the reason why these operators utilize the third party as a assistant with their business. It's very important to know that today, between food costs, between the lack of employment, the ability to secure employees, and all of the other things that seem to be hindrances in operating small business, the partnerships are essential. These are choices and decisions in which, you know, operators have chose to go with, because it reduces any financial loss and risk. You know, their roles and responsibilities may not be in the physical of, you know, essentially filling a vending machine or filling the micro market, but their roles and responsibilities are to maintain communication with the building. It's to maintain a relationship with the third party company when identifying there are issues with any of the vending machine. It's to maintain the understanding of what every item in a vending machine should be priced at. It's the roles and responsibilities of understanding, if anything is being thought as expired products. There's a lot of other intricate pieces to physically doing something, you know what I mean? So to provide these opportunity, it really bears the risk of failure. The challenge if someone, and again, this is by their choice, if someone decided to operate a small business, there's a great chance that their business would not succeed beyond a year. The buying power of a small business is not the same as a larger business. In addition, just some of the offerings that we offer in many of our locations couldn't be offered because of just their ability to be able to, you know, purchase at a minimum threshold or not meeting the minimum threshold at many suppliers, and their inabilities to travel for the products that they offer. So it's definitely positive light in which these operators operate as.
Right. Got it. So my final question, what is the financially earnings, what is the range of earnings that the operators are currently receiving?
I would say anywhere from probably $10,000 to $150,000. And, you know, I'm glad you asked that question, because earnings, you know, is always, obviously when you talk about business, is always a concern. You know, it's in majority of people's lives, it's the number one piece of what makes you want to, you know, operate a business. However, I say in our program, that is not the case. So when we talk about, you know, when you hear the lower end of 10,000, I think it's important that people understand that's by choice. That's by choice. So a lot of the operators, or not a lot, but the operators that may be on the lower end of this have been offered other opportunities, and in specific, have stated that they just like what they have. You know, some operators are receiving Social Security disability, therefore that's an offset in income, and so they're doing this job based more or less for the opportunity, the ability to have roles and responsibilities, daily roles and responsibilities in their personal lives. So it's not all about the dollar for operators. Some we have, but I cannot confidently say that that's the reason, you know, that that's everyone's focus, because it truly isn't. And, you know, we always try to push operators to do more, to go into greater opportunities. But there's just a comfort level, respectfully understanding, maybe just, you know, the manner in which it's the ease of getting to a location, or whatever their personal reasons are. But those that make that money are, in fact, satisfied with it. And those that aren't satisfied but continue to make, you know, maybe on a lower scale, you know, they go and we talk about it and we try to position them to for greater opportunity. You know.
Thank you. I appreciate having the time to ask these questions, and I've learned a lot, and I'm thank you for your thorough explanations.
Absolutely. Thank you for the questions.
Any other questions for Tyrell?
Stephen, I have one question.
Yep.
How are you doing with the referrals? Is that all coming from Voc Rehab, or are there other resources that you're able to use?
Yeah, great question. Yes, we've been getting referrals through VR. I would say majority of the referrals are coming from VR. I believe there's an NFB president out in the southern part of the state who has referred, used my name in certain meetings, which is great, hopefully in positive light. When I get emails, I'm getting references of the NFB president out of Stanford in regards to, in specific, the Bridgeport mental health concession opportunity. So I think, you know, at this point, tell a friend to tell a friend. You know, there's not any one direct portal method of, you know, getting our program out and soliciting it. But certainly, you know, we're grateful and thankful for the VR referrals. And, you know, we're having these conversations and discussions with each person that has interest. And, you know, really going in depth as to the requirements or the expectations of any facility in which they are interested in. You know, no two facilities are the same. Skill sets are at different levels for different opportunities. We're also pushing, you know, individuals who may have interest but don't have the skill set to operate bigger and better things, you know, maybe aligning them up with the Chicago Lighthouse online 12-week, 12-module program, which really gives them a full detail perspective of the business enterprise program. You know, again, I think preparation is key, and, you know, having someone prepared will, you know, definitely go a long way in ensuring that that individual be successful in our program.
Thank you, Tyrell.
You're welcome.
Further questions for Tyrell? Hearing none, I want to thank Tyrell, and I want to note that with the entrenchment of remote work, it has caused the PEP to have to pivot in a different direction than maybe it was going before, and I appreciate the diligence with which you've approached this, Tyrell. I think you're bringing some new ideas to the table, and I think they are going to prove fruitful, and I think that the future of the program is much better than I may have expected it to be in 2021. So for that, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, next item on the agenda, as I switch over to the chapter here, is, VR, Mary, you have the floor.
Hey, hello everyone. I'll try to be pretty quick, because I know we're probably getting crunched for time, and I did submit in the paperwork, but I do have a few things to add to that. So The first thing is just to kind of cover our staffing in Voc Rehab, which is relatively bleak. I was reflecting back, and we had 18 staff members in Voc Rehab this date last year. Currently, we have 12. So right now, we're down 6 staff. So we're down our bilingual counselor, our 2 transition, pre-employment transition counselors, a technologist, and our 2 clerical. So needless to say, our focus over the year has been to cover these vacancies. One of our vacancies for our transition counselor was just December 1st. So we're really just, you know, the last few weeks struggling with that vacancy, because that's kind of left a pretty big hole. And the unfortunate passing of Steve Famigletti, you know, I echo what everybody else said. I've worked with him for 21 years, and he's a genuinely kind, wonderful person. With that said, he was also our technology provider. We contracted out, so many of our staff have also felt the big gaping hole of him, you know, his passing, along with a lot of our clients, which left a further void in our technology services. So that's where we're at. You know, unfortunately, not great, but on a positive note, you know, we seem to have rallied, because we did pretty well this year. You know, we got our consumer satisfaction survey results back, and we had the highest rating of our counselors that we've had in 20 years. So with the short staffs, you know, the remaining counselors seem to be doing something correct. We did hire a new individual in September of 2021, who covers our South Central region and our Eastern region. And that was the region that increased the highest. So that I don't think that's by accident, you know, and that's a good thing. We also, you know, we don't necessarily report on our closures, because we have the performance measures now, which are different from the past standards and indicators. But what I did notice recently is when we did our consumer satisfaction survey, it's on the federal fiscal year, and it brought us up 15 closures from last year, which is also a very positive result, considering, you know, the pandemic and everything. We are certainly on the upswing. You know, we're probably not where we need to be or where we want to be, but we're on the upswing. The other kind of notable, you know, the noteworthy accomplishment from Voc Rehab is when we were at NCSAB, you know, this past November, they do a leader board for all the blind agencies in the country. They separate out the blind versus all. And we hit the leadership board in 3 areas. We were number 1 in the country for credential attainment, which means that we had more credential attainments than any other VR agency for the blind, which means our clients were getting more degrees, you know, whatever constitutes as a credential, training program, certificates, all that. So we're pretty proud of that. The other 2 was the rehab rate. We had more people exiting on a positive outcome than a negative outcome. And I think we're number 3 there. And I think we were number 3 or 2 in the hourly rate, which we do typically tend to be higher just because of the cost of living, I guess, in Connecticut. But either way, we still hit the leaderboard on that one. So with being short-staffed, we seem to be doing something right. People are rallying, and we're getting it done, basically. So, you know, I would say over the last few months since I reported the last time, we're definitely participating in more in-person events, in-person meetings, employer meetings, going out and seeing our clients. We certainly still have a hybrid model for a lot of meetings, you know, and, you know, we're you know, our staff are still hybrid, you know, going, you know, teleworking and going in the field, going in the office. It's a combination. Some notable events that we had was for October's National Employment for Individuals with Disabilities Month. We